Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
Amen. Come on, how many of you know you got some amazing pastors? Yeah. It's just want to take a moment and just honor Pastor Andrew and Amanda and the leadership of this amazing church. What God is doing here is beautiful. It's amazing. And things like this, and I know you know this, but things like this don't happen overnight. Today, you're standing in something that once only existed in prayer. Years of prayer, years of sacrifice, people giving when it stretched them, people serving when they were tired, people doing what God asked them to do when it stretched their faith, and people believing God for something though the future wasn't perfectly clear. This house is a testimony to the faithfulness of God. Amen, somebody. I know Karen and I we wanted to be here day one, but so I know you've done this, and I'm sure you've done this every week, but just to encourage you should celebrate this moment. It's worth celebrating. You should thank God for this. You should rejoice in what God has done. But I also want to gently encourage you with something to remember in seasons like this. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. Not in a discouraging way, but in a kingdom way. And I want you to hear my heart, obviously, as I speak this life into your pastors, but when God brings his people, when God brings you into a new place, it's not about arrival. It's about assignment. And no matter where you are in your journey, no matter the times that you and I as believers simply pray and we ask God, why am I here? Don't stop asking that question, because you're there on purpose, for a purpose. It's not about arrival, that I'm here and this is it. It's why am I here? Why have I been sent? We didn't step into a monument. You stepped into a garden. And gardens don't maintain themselves. God's not asking you to produce anything. God's asking you to tend what he's already produced. The Apostle Paul says it is required of a steward, not an owner, of a steward that he be found faithful. And if you and I can live the rest of our lives understanding that we own nothing, the things that are in our hands, the things that we consider in our possession, do not belong to us. They belong to the Lord. And God is simply asking of you and I to simply tend and steward what he's given. What a difference that would make in our lives if we would simply understand the job that I have right now is not mine. God gave it to me. I would steward it a little bit different if that were my perspective. The truth is, for some of us in this room today, we would steward our relationships a little bit better if we would understand that God gave them to me. God gave me her. God gave me him. It's what you said day one. It's what you said when you said, I do. But somewhere along the way, we lose perspective of the things that God has put in our hands. But if we could live with the perspective that I didn't do this, God gave me this, I would treat it and them a whole lot different. I'm preaching better than your amen in this morning. It doesn't mean that there's not effort. I'm not saying that there's not work, but it's tending, and that's different. Because in tending, it's worship. And in tending, I want you to hear this, there's rest. There's way too much anxiety in our lives. Way too much frustration in our lives. And that's usually a telltale sign of where we are trying to produce where God has already worked. Pastor Reed, I know you and I have heard of way too many people that talk about being burned out in ministry. And the truth is, I've been there myself. Overwhelmed by the work. And I'm convinced, after nearly 30 years of full-time ministry, I'm convinced that it's mostly because we've done exactly what Adam and Eve did and pursued something God said you didn't need, and tried to produce something God said I don't want you to have. And in the process, we lose peace and we lose joy and we lose our strength and we feel like, well, I've lost the grace, and because this place isn't working, maybe it's time for me to move on to another one. And because this relationship doesn't have the peace it once had, that maybe it's time for me to move on to another one. And the truth is, it's simply because I've lost perspective and tried to produce something in myself that God said I didn't need or I didn't want you to have. So if we could just return to this place of rest. But there's only one way you return to rest, and that's by returning to surrender. There's a restlessness in humanity that no vacation can solve. The grind can't find. Because in that, again, we're trying to produce something that God desires for us to find only in him. Because we were created for rest, but we live in toil. Striving for the next thing. Grinding for the next dollar. If I can get the next promotion, then I'll be able to rest. When I get the raise, then I'll be able to take it easy, and then I'll be able to rest. If I could reach this height, if I could attain that goal, if I could accomplish this thing or that, then I can rest. There's a thread that runs throughout the entirety of Scripture, and I promise I won't take that journey with you today, but it's this truth: man strives, man fails. God rescues. Anybody thankful for that today? Man enjoys rest for a moment, then gets prideful, rebels, becomes ungrateful, goes after the thing that God said not to, then he struggles. And God rescues. Man rebels, gets prideful. It's this, in relationships, they call it the crazy cycle. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to be honest with it, though this should be the most honest place in all of our lives. But the truth is, how many of us, if we answered honestly, would be honest and say, you know what, sometimes I find myself in that crazy cycle. I surrender. I enjoy rest. Then I get prideful. I lose perspective, and I chase the thing God told me I didn't need, and desire the thing God told me was not good, and he has to come rescue me one more time. Man is called, he starts in obedience, he gets prideful, he gets lustful, and he begins to toil over the things that God says we don't need, works to build his own thing, make his own path, and accomplish his own dream, and lives life toiling.
I think Scripture says it this way. There's a way that seems right to a man. But in the end, it's not good. And here's the thing that just a spoiler alert, just for all of us in this room today. Jesus doesn't just give us rest. He is our rest. And the only way you're going to find that everlasting peace, the peace that the Bible says surpasses all understanding, is by surrendering to Jesus. Our struggle is that, even ignorantly, our struggle is that we pursue things under the cover of, I'm giving all as unto the Lord. And sometimes we even fail to realize that we're honestly giving everything to someone or something else but the Lord. We just do it in His name. But I just wanted to just bring a word to us today to simply remind us that we were created for rest. We were created for rest. I know we've got a few note takers in this room, and if you want to write that down in big bold letters just to remind yourself, I was created for rest. Genesis chapter 1, it'll be on the screen if you can't turn there quick enough. It says in verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish in the sea and the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, even there, we can understand that God created man and then gives man responsibility. Responsibility, yes. Laborious, no. Let's continue. Then God saw everything. Somebody say everything. That he had made, and indeed it was very good. Look at somebody close to you and just tell them that right now. Just say, you're very good. And the evening and the morning were the what? Sixth day. And now we know this as we continue in Genesis chapter 2. I told you I'm not going to go from Genesis to Revelation, and I promise you I won't necessarily. Thus the heavens and the earth and all of the hosts with them were finished. And on the what? God ended his work that he had done, and he on the from all the work that he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day. He sanctified it because in it he from all his work that God had made. Now just quick, I just want to make sure we catch this. Man was made on the what day? And on the seventh day, God did what? Picture this. Adam's first full day of existence was resting in the presence of God. Not working, resting. Not laboring, resting. And it's almost as if God is saying, the first thing I want you to do is fill up on me before you fill up on it. God was saying, before you do any work, I want you to spend time with me so that your work is an overflow of your rest. And I know, listen, I can feel the tension that's happening in the room because you're just trying to figure out how that is even possible. Here's why, because we've got this backwards. We work, 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 trying to get some rest. And we say, if I can work enough, then I will have earned enough to finally. And God is saying, if you will rest enough, the work won't be that difficult anymore, because work turns to worship when it's an overflow of your rest. Too many church people get burned out on serving. Why? Because they look at it as, this is my work, and I got to go to work, and I got to go to church to serve. Why? Because you've not spent enough time.
And if I could just learn how to rest first, God was saying, before you do any work, I want you to spend time with me so that your work is an overflow of your rest. What you experience with me then overflows into everything else. I see it this way, that his identity, who he really was, preceded his activity. Who he really is came before. He discovered who he was before he learned how to do what he did. And let's be honest, we get that backwards. His worship preceded his work. What if we did that? What if we really learned how to give to God first? What would our work week look like if we gave to God first? What would our day look like if we got up and talked to him before we met with them? If everything we did was an overflow of the rest. And again, let's be honest, we get it backwards. Come on, who'll be honest and say, Pastor, I struggle with that. The rest of you are lying. You know what happens when you lie? Some of you don't know me, but if you lie in the house of God, you go straight to hell. That's not true. It's not theologically sound. It's the only thing I say to get people to respond. We seem to have that backwards because we work to figure out who we are and then give that to the Lord. Lord, as soon as I get this figured out, I'll give it to you. As soon as I get this built, as soon as I get there, as soon as I have it. But he has made this so simple. He said, if you'll rest in me, I'll show you who you are and place you where you need to be to accomplish what I've called you to do. That I don't have to figure it out. Is that true? Is that scripturally sound? Absolutely. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, handcrafted by God. The Bible says, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Watch this. That God has prepared in advance for us to do. God's already got it laid out. We've got to stop thinking that I have to work it out. I'm not saying that there's not a journey of discovery, but the truth is we spend much of our lives trying to build out what God has already worked out. And if we would just seek him, the rest would come into place. Here's our struggle. We allow our identity to be shaped by what we do. And the struggle comes when I no longer get to do what I've done. Then I feel hopeless about who I am. If I get laid off of the job I've had for 12 years, that was who I was. And now that I don't get to do what I did, I don't know who I am. And it's because we've got this backwards. If I've allowed my activity to determine my identity, then when I'm no longer able to perform the activity, I get lost and I lose my joy and I lose my peace and I lose my rest because we've lived for the thing instead of living for the one. Genesis 2:15. Then, everybody say then, after he was created, after rest, then God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. Would you say those words with me? To tend it and keep it. There's two words there, and I'm going to butcher the original language, but abad and samar. Abad and samar are the words for tend it and keep it. And I'm not as smart as Pastor Andrew. I'm not. He's just the resident theologian. But I looked these words up. I looked those words up to find out what the original, because I was just curious about it, and I found out that it's the same words used in Numbers chapter 3 as God was instituting principles for the tabernacle. That the instructions that were given to the priests where that they would keep charge before the whole tabernacle and do the work of the tabernacle. The same words were used, abad and samar, to tend it and to keep it, to tend it and to watch over it. Adam in the garden was not grinding, he was simply worshiping. He wasn't working, he was tending. It was work as worship. What if we could get to that place? That truly everything we did was as unto the Lord. And you can't get to a place where everything is unto the Lord until you get to a place where everything is unto the Lord. We know this to be true. Genesis chapter 3 changed everything. The serpent came, and the enemy first distorted God's word and then ultimately denied God's warning. And sin always begins when we begin to question God's word and trusting our own judgment more than his. That's why it's important before you step into a new job, you pray, get counsel. Before you enter into a forever relationship, get somebody you trust. Get some counsel. And all the parents said, amen. And we know that Adam and Eve sinned and they rebelled against the Lord. And the Bible says that God came down in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve had hid themselves. And God came down and he said, Adam, where are you? And almost everybody would agree, commentaries, the historians, is that this wasn't like a one-time singular moment that God came down into the garden, but that this was God's regularly scheduled time that he would come down and fellowship with Adam and Eve. And God came down in his normal time to fellowship with the people that he created, but they were hiding. Just a side note. I hope you catch that. That even after they sinned, God still came looking for them. He could have had enough and been done with them. I'm so thankful that even after, he still comes calling. He still comes looking. It's in our sin, and it's because of the shame of our sin that we hide, but God is still coming to fellowship. God is still coming to talk with you. God is still coming to be with you. God comes down. What happened? We know Adam blames his wife, and the wife blames the snake. And God, then the curse comes. And God says to the serpent, because of what you did, you're cursed. You're going to crawl on your belly. You're going to eat dust. You're going to try to bruise man's heel, but his heel is going to bruise your head. A foretelling, a prophecy of Jesus coming to crush the head of the serpent that wounded God's creation. Eve, ladies, you can thank her for this. Your pain in birth is going to be greatly multiplied. Thanks, Eve. Adam, and this is what he says to Adam, and I want to read this. Then to Adam he said, now let's not linger here too long, fellas, because you heeded the voice of your wife. You've learned that lesson hopefully by now, and I'm just kidding. And have eaten from the tree that I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Watch this. And in, what's that next word? Toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it's going to bring forth for you. You'll eat of the herb of the field, but in the sweat of your face You shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. Dust you are, and dust you shall return. Watch this. Tending became toiling. What God had called them for became so much harder because they determined, I want the thing God said I shouldn't have. And in their pursuit, God said, I'm going to let you discover what it's like to try to produce something without my grace. And some of us have experienced life's toils because we pursued the very thing God said, don't touch that. Don't go there. Don't do that. You don't need that. I don't want that for you. But everybody else gets to. I want to experience God's intent. I'll produce it. You simply tend what I bring to you. Man's response, I want what you said I didn't need. Result, us trying to produce something God desires for us to trust him for. Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God. Then all of these things will be added. When I seek him first, when I put him first, when I rest in him first, I'm able to trust that God's going to bring me everything I need. If God's not bringing it to me, then I learn that I don't need it. And I certainly shouldn't desire it. So I want you to hear me, church. When a church grows, and you have, when a building fills, and it has, when momentum increases, and it is, there are subtle pressures that can creep in. Now, I'm grateful for the heart of your pastor and the leaders of this house. And I know that they pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guard over this. But I also just want to offer this charge. Because there can come the pressure to sustain what God started. As if I need to help him. The pressure to protect what God built. The pressure to make sure nothing messes up. And if we're not careful, tending can quietly become toiling. And don't ever forget Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, it's vain labor to try to do what God said he would do. When the Lord does it, we get to tend it. When we try to do it, we toil over it. So if you're living the kind of life that's full of anxiety and frustration and fear, then just take self-inventory and ask yourself, where am I toiling where God only intended for me to tend? What am I doing? What am I pursuing? What am I chasing? What am I after that I know ultimately in my heart God said I didn't need or wasn't for me? God never intended his people to carry his work like a burden. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And here's the promise, because I believe that the Holy Spirit is already stirring conviction into some hearts today. You can go ahead and come. Believe it or not, I'm closing. No, it might be a 30-minute close, but I'm closing. I'm just kidding. Pastor Andrew told me I had 25 minutes, and you know that's a lie. Revelation 13:8. Pastor Andrew opened the service with some hint towards this. There was only one worthy to open the scroll. And I saw one, looked like a lamb who had been slain. Revelation 13:8 calls him the lamb slain Watch this. From the creation of the world. Isn't that amazing? That God knew Adam would fall. And had a plan already in place to redeem and ransom him. You were created for good works, but God knew you were born into sin and would need rescuing and redeeming and ransoming. Aren't you glad that God knew that first? And that God prepared in advance for your salvation? That God loved us like this, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly? God knew Adam would fall and planned for it. God saw it coming to pass and made a way for it to be ransomed, redeemed, to be purchased back. And then all of this begins to unfold, and I could take you on a journey for days now of just the things, just from my devotion. I've just been digging into this in my devotion time, just to watch God's plan and the supernatural ways and the signs that God gives that point to Jesus and his redemption and what he's coming to do. From Genesis to Revelation, there's these moments all along the way that God speaks to Abraham and tells Abraham, come out from among your father and I'm going to bring you into a land of promise, and all the world's going to be blessed through you. It's the journey. I don't have time to get into all of it. I wish I did. But ultimately, for those of us that are at least a little bit familiar with Scripture, we know that ultimately the children of Israel end up in Egypt. They didn't get there as slaves. They got there as welcomed foreigners that God covered and kept and provided for in supernatural ways, through a young man by the name of Joseph. As years pass, they become the slaves in Egypt. There's taskmasters put over them, and they are simply in bondage. But God made a promise that I'm going to bring you. To a place of restoration, redeemed purpose. And all of us have a lot in our lives that we can look back and if we're honest, and we're going to pray for some of you today, that if we're honest, there's some parts of our past that we feel like we're still a slave to, and you're going to experience freedom for it this morning. Because Jesus already paid the price to redeem you from it. But today you're going to come into contact with supernatural power that's going to let you know Jesus paid for it. So God made this covenant promise. It's a covenant, something that God said, I will never go back on. I swear by my own name, I'm going to bring you into a land. The land was not about the place. It was about the purpose of God restoring them for what was lost in the garden. That I'm going to bring you back to a place of provision and rest and worship. The children of Israel are in Egypt. We know Moses escapes Egypt. God comes to Moses at the burning bush. And God says, I want you to go back to the children of Israel and tell them that I've come to deliver them and to bring them into this land of promise. And I will bring you out, the book of Numbers says, to bring you in. And you will be my people and I will be your God that brings you out from under the yoke, all of that toiling of the Egyptians. The Bible says this in Exodus chapter 6. You can read it for yourself. that they would not listen to Moses because they were discouraged by their toiling. They were so caught up in the toil of their life, they couldn't even hear the promise of freedom that God was bringing to them. And some of you have sat Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and you've heard your preacher preach and your pastor teach about the promises of God and the freedom of God and the things that God has purposed for you. But there's something in you that's been unable to receive it because you've been so caught up in toiling over a life you've been trying to build for yourself. But the word of the Lord is coming you today to say, if you will surrender that to me, I will bring you into a new land of promise. Hear me. It doesn't mean that it's a land without effort. Grace is not opposed to effort. Grace is opposed to earning. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. God is bringing it to you and you to it. So here's what God says. Now go tell Pharaoh. Come on, say it with me. Tell Pharaoh to. And we always stop there. That's not all God said. He said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go so they may worship me. God said, I want you to tell the taskmaster that I'm coming to free my people from all of their toil, to redeem them and bring them back into a land that flows with. Why? Because God said, I'm bringing them into a place that I've already prepared the abundance for them. I'm going to bring them into a place where I've already prepared provision. Why? So they don't have to toil anymore. So they can rest and worship. I'm bringing them out to bring them in. That God's purpose was from the beginning, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, was to bring you and I back into a relationship of rest and worship. It's in our own ignorance. It's in the lust of our own flesh that we get caught up in all of the other stuff, desiring things that we shouldn't desire and pursuing things we shouldn't pursue. That if we would just simply, and I'm not saying that I've got it all together, there's still plenty of times that I've got to stop and repent. And he brings them into the land again, but it wasn't about the place. It was about the purpose. Individually, when God places you in a job, don't make that about your career. Seek to know it as your assignment. Why am I here? And I believe God will use it to build his kingdom, provide for you, and bless other people. To make it a place that flows with milk and honey, a place where God provides, where God protects, so that we can once again return to tending what God was creating and bringing. And here's what the Bible says. In Joshua chapter 21, the Lord gave them rest on every side. How many of you want that? I want that. Now, don't get me wrong. Historically, there was still land to cultivate and people to reach. Crossing the land wasn't the end of the story. It was the beginning of responsibility. But that responsibility was to tend. And I believe that's where the remnant stands today. You have crossed the Jordan, but you've not reached a finish line. God did not bring you here to simply maintain a building. He brought you here to reach a city. to tend the garden he's placed you in, to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue, to have dominion. Would you stand with me? And then that'll know I really got to close. Here's somewhat a beautiful thing, but it's also kind of a sad thing. Hebrews chapter 4 says there still remains a rest for God's people. There still remains a rest. Why? Because some of us haven't walked in it yet. The challenge to the children of Israel is constantly, don't harden your hearts like your fathers did in the wilderness. Don't be stubborn. See what God is doing. Receive what God is doing. Be grateful for what God is doing. There remains a rest for the people of God. And for those of you that are here that are feeling restless, again, rest is not a day. Rest is a person, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus said this in Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're not going to find it in another job. You're not going to find it in another place. You're not going to find it in another relationship. You're not going to find it in anything else. Only found in the person of Jesus Christ. And with your heads bowed, some of you here today are exhausted because you've been trying to produce what only surrender can receive. Some of you are believers. You believe in Jesus, and if you died today, you would go to heaven, but you're still living like a slave, bound to the toiling because of your past. And some of you here today, you saw the peace on somebody else and you said, man, I want that. But you've never entered the rest for yourself. And for both of those groups of people, there remains a rest. And his name is Jesus. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask, before we move forward and come to pray, I just want to ask, if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I believe I'm a Christian. I believe I'm saved. But man, my soul is tired. And I feel like the message is resonating with me. I feel like my life has been spent toiling, trying to accomplish something that Jesus has already paid for. Would you just slip up your hand? Say, Pastor, that's me. Pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You've become a slave to your own grind and your own mind. Is there anybody here today that you would be honest and say, Pastor, I've been coming to church and man, I hear these messages and they're so hope-filled and they're so, man, I want that. But if I'm honest, I've been to church, but I've never fully surrendered my life to Jesus. But today, I want to experience that rest. And today, I want to be saved. Would you just slip up your hand and say, that's me. Pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Rest is not found in a building. It's found in a Savior. And I want to pray, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to give you an opportunity to take a bold step of faith. If you're here today, and you say, that's me. Maybe you raised your hand, maybe you didn't. You say, Pastor, that's me. Today I want to surrender my life completely, wholly, for the first time. Today I want to be saved. We're going to pray this prayer, and we're going to pray it out loud here at Remnant. We pray out loud and together because nobody walks alone. And the Bible says, with the heart we believe and with the mouth we confess. There's nothing magical about this prayer, but there is something supernatural about it. Because it's with the confession of our faith that we're able to receive the free gift of salvation that Jesus died that we could have. And today is simply the day that we take our first step on the forever journey with Jesus. And we're going to pray this out loud. I want you to simply pray it with me. Repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I believe you're God's Son, sent from heaven to take my place. to die my death so I wouldn't have to. Today, forgive me of my sins. Wash me, make me whole, make me new. Restore purpose in my life and fill me with the Holy Spirit so I could walk this out for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, I confess I'm born again. Amen and amen. Can we thank the Lord for new life today? Here's what I want us to do. There were many hands that said, Pastor, I feel like I'm caught in this thing of toiling. And my soul is tired. Here's what the Bible encourages us to do. To repent and confess. If we repent, he's faithful. If we confess, we find healing. Now, I'm not going to invite you up here and make you confess before everybody. You know what's going on in your life, but here's the bold step of faith that you can do to do that today. And they're going to sing, and the song that they're going to sing is just going to speak life over us today. But I want to invite those of you that you just say, my soul is tired. I'm tired of toiling, and today I'm going to surrender it. You know where the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and said, this is the area of your life that you've been toiling in, pursuing the thing that I told you not to pursue, going after the thing that I told you didn't need. And you've been struggling and toiling. Maybe you've been toiling because you feel slaved to your past, but today you recognize that Jesus paid the price for that and has freed you from that. And today we're going to make a bold confession of faith that I'm free and I'm surrendering everything to him by coming, taking a step out of your seat and coming to this altar and kneeling down and surrendering it to him. Come on, I want you to do that as they begin to sing.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.